Hello everyone, welcome to our first literary discussion about characterization, about our four books that we have today. My name is Isaac.
My name is Oscar.
I'm Georgia.
My name's Jaden. We are missing one person. She has the fourth book, so we only have three to talk about today.
Okay, so we're going to talk about characterization today. So I think we should start off, first of all, with a little bit of background information on how far we've read in the book and what we've read in the book so far.
Okay, so I'm reading All the Light We Cannot See, and we are introduced to a girl named Mary Lurie, who lives in a small city in France, and then we're also introduced to a boy named Werner. Mary Lurie is a girl who is going blind, who eventually goes blind later down in the story, and Werner is a boy who is introduced into a household where he's accepted into the family, and he's kind of, from what we're getting now, he's kind of odd. He's messaging around with his broadband radios, and at this point, that's how far we've made it into the book.
I am reading Fugitive Pieces, and the book starts off with a little boy who, in a Polish town, whose family is murdered by Nazi soldiers. He buries himself in the ground, all but his face, to hide, and spends the next several weeks hiding during the day and moving at night to keep himself safe. He is found by a Greek geologist named Athos and smuggled to that man's home island, where he hides in that man's house for most of what's left of the war.
I'm reading the same book as Oscar, called All the Light We Cannot See, and so far, haven't got too far into it, but it's written with two very different perspectives, as he mentioned, so it's kind of taken us through the different lifestyles and focused much about how their life was growing up throughout the years. It kind of jumps from one year to another, and we see how she lost her vision, what happened, and exactly kind of how the events played out. And then it takes us through how she has adapted to the changes and had to relearn how to do certain things and fix kind of what she was used to. She had to just figure out everything all over again, which was quite hard considering she wasn't born blind. The second character is Werner, who was a young boy, and again, it takes us through his childhood, the people he lived with, and then it shows us how intelligent and curious about the world and about all the things he can find that he is. So we know that he has a little sister who helps him through all the things, but he kind of leads her. And then it shows that throughout everything that he's doing, he has this perspective that's a little bit different than everyone else's, whereas they want to play outside. He likes to stay inside and build or focus on his radio that he finds. And we're just getting into the point in the novel where people are joining the German forces and kind of getting more into that with their views, but we haven't made it much past that.
Okay, so I'm reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz, and in the first couple pages, it is a bit of an epilogue toward the kind of middle of the story. So we meet a man named Lael, who is the tattooist, and a girl that he meets while he was doing her tattoo. They make eye connection, they start a little conversation, but that was about it. The girl had to leave due to the SS forcing her away. And then it comes to chapter one, where we meet Lael in a small confined cattle truck where he doesn't know where he's going. He was taken from his home and he is stuck in a cattle car with about 50 other men. He meets this young boy named Aaron in the truck, and they continue to be friends until they actually get to Auschwitz. We learn that the German government had everyone where Lael was from, which is from Pachi. Unfortunately, I don't know how to say that word or the country. And all the families with children over 18 had to give the German government a boy to go work in these labor camps. Lael's brother, Max, offered, but Max has a wife and two kids, so Lael offered himself. And by the time Lael realizes where he was going, it has been almost a week in the kettle truck with low food, low water, bad conditions and just stock full of people. And then he realizes that he came to Auschwitz. And the part of Auschwitz that he came to was to Auschwitz to Birkenau.
Birkenau.
Where they basically have most of the men working in camps trying to build up Auschwitz. And of course, through the book, we find out more things about Auschwitz, like how, as an inmate there, when you first come there, you only get two rations, once per the morning and once per the evening. And then as we go on, we learn a little more about how, like, the grading system in Auschwitz works, like the green triangles, the red triangles, black triangles, and yellow triangles. The one that he focuses on in the book is the yellow triangle, which means that you're Jewish. And then I read up to chapter 10, so I learned much more about how he became a tattooist. So we met this man named Pepin, where he was the original tattooist, but Pepin was taken away due to some unknown reason that Lael did not find out. So he became the tattooist himself. So as we're done with all our backgrounds and how far we've read up to, we're going to start the questions now. So what are your first impressions of each character?
My first impressions of Mary Laurie originally is she's very willing to learn. She lives near the museum, and she goes to the museum with her father, and she goes through and she's inspecting everything, and she's asking, all the guys are asking weird questions, all the boys are asking strange questions, but she's very curious. She's willing to learn. She's wanting to understand the history of what she's seeing. But as we learn, when she takes off her glasses, the narrator explains that her world goes blurry, which shows us that she's in a tough situation with going blind. If she had the ability to see, what we learn, that's something that she loses later on in the story. If she could see, things would have been much more open to her, and she would have continued on with her curiousness in a more broad spectrum. But since she's blind, she only has the ability to see what she feels and understand the world that she has that will never be able to see again.
The main character in Fugitive Pieces, Jakob, seems to be something of a resourceful kid, but still very much a kid and alone and afraid after so much trauma. Athos, the man who saves him, seems to be kind and helpful and caring.
In my book, same as Oscar, my first impression of both characters were a little bit different. Mary Laurie, I thought she was very curious and adventurous, and we know this from right before when she loses her sight as well, like Oscar brought up in the museum. And even after that, when she had to reteach herself, and you could just, through reading it, you kind of realized how intelligent she was when she was able to teach herself the skills again. And you could tell that with her relationship through her father and even the people she meets, she's very warm and loving and loves to explore. Werner, on the other hand, because he's a young German boy, it's a very different household he grew up in. He's described to have a different appearance as everyone else, so he kind of got a little bit judged by other kids, other people. But overall, we see that he's very intelligent and a lot different than the other kids in the sense of his actions and what he does. The other kids like to go outside and play, and he would prefer to stay inside even alone or with his sister, and just work on things with little scrap metal and things that he finds in the mines and throughout.
Okay, so my initial impressions of Lael was that he's this stern person with this very hard attitude. But as we go through the story and as I learn from reading, he's actually a very resourceful kind of educational person. He knows a lot, and he sends a message of hope to the other prisoners. Like in the first chapter with the cattle car, he goes through basically the whole time kind of just sending a message of hope. He's a strongly witted man who is always respecting women as well. because from a young age, he did help his father with his horse-drawn carriage. And his job on the horse-drawn carriage was actually to let women out of their carriage. And he learned from his father to, like, firmly respect women as you go on into the story with his love of the girl that we soon to know, Geeta.
He met her through the job?
No. Geeta was a prisoner at Auschwitz.
Right, right.
And she actually came to Auschwitz before him.
Okay.
But they stamped, because it's she's a woman,
yeah, yeah.
So they went to different, like, a location on Auschwitz, and they stamped the numbers.
Yeah.
They didn't tattoo it. And when she came to Lael's portion of Auschwitz, he had to tattoo her.
Yeah.
And that's when they first met.
Do we learn anything about their connection once they meet?
Well, it's before chapter one, we do learn kind of like later in the story. So around chapter eight is when it's like revealed their full conversation they had. But before chapter one, there's a quote that I saw. It said, her eyes, however, danced before him, because she stood there like still, kind of dead face, because, you know, the SS soldiers are around them. And as soon as they locked eyes, he says that her eyes were dancing before him.
So we can see that there's definitely something there right from the beginning.
Oh yes, there was a subtle connection in the beginning.
Okay.
So, what background information do you think that we would need in order to understand the protagonist's conflict so far in the novel?
We learned that with Mary Laurie at the beginning of the book, she's talking about the bombers that are coming in. So we need to know what time, when are the bombers coming. I assume it was during an air raid, but I'm not quite sure which one. As we go through the novel, we'll learn. But she's explaining the horror and the terror of, like, she quoted, like, the earthquake of bombs as the one light bulb in the room went dark. Understanding that they're definitely in a hot time. They're definitely under siege from, I don't know who would, the Germans bombing, I'm assuming, yeah.
What time period is the book? Do you know the year?
I don't know if
we haven't really reached that part yet.
Does it explain that?
That's kind of like the bombing part that it's talking about is kind of the brief, almost introduction before it jumps all the way back into their past.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't give us much details other than what they're feeling and thinking and seeing. Or in her case, hearing, because at this point, or at that point, when it's in her future, she can't see.
Yeah, she can't see.
And then it jumps back into the actual introduction. So far, all we have is a little clip from their future and then the introduction about their past.
So due to her blindness, you think that she kind of has, like, she lost one sense, but her other senses are heightened.
Yeah, they are. Because a lot of the time, too, as the story has gone on, we see her, or we read, and she's talking a lot about the things she hears and how it's not what people expect, how she's not in darkness. She sees in color, but it's in her imagination. So she sees not real colors, but she sees her father when he's doing certain things. She can hear him at the desk, but she sees him as a purple or orange or whatever color she used. I think it was olive green. She sees him building his little models in an olive green light. And that's how she describes things. So all of her senses have been heightened because of her blindness, and she's learned to overcome that. But then in the bombing, when it talks about that, we do have to know that there has been something that occurred, and throughout events that we've researched and stuff, we kind of have a sense of what that might be. But it helps us to know that, like, we don't know where her father is in this case. She says that she doesn't know where he is. He hasn't returned yet. So it gives a little bit of, like, a mysterious five.
Now, sorry, one more question.
Yeah.
Does the book start with, like, is she fully blind, like she can't see anything?
Yes, the book starts. The very introduction is kind of like three little chapters. It's like a page of each. It's the girl, the boy, and then the bombing.
It's giving us insight to
Yeah,
our
so
story.
It gives us it, but that's in the future. So in that, she's completely blind, she can't see. We know that they still are in their house on the fourth floor, the sixth floor, and the fourth house, something like that. And then it gives insight for the boy, and then it gives insight in the situation they're both in. So in both of their cases, there is a bombing, but in one, it's the Germans, and it's so the Werner is in the cellar, whereas the people above him on the floor that he's staying with are the ones shooting. And then in the other case, she's in hiding in her house.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The background information for fugitive pieces, you'd need to know the countries that the Nazis had been invading and how they treated the people from those countries, particularly people of Jewish background. They would kill and capture any who they came across, and those who weren't killed would be brought to concentration camps, which is probably something that many people have at least heard of, given this unit. The story so far takes place entirely in 1944, which was about when World War II was at its most intense.
Okay, thank you. So the background information for my book, The Tattooist of Auschwitz, you definitely need to know a little bit of background about Auschwitz itself, about how like many people were killed there, like what is the actual story behind Auschwitz itself. And then also, I think you need to know a little bit about the Holocaust itself as well, with the, it wasn't just the Jews that were killed, it was the Gypsies as well. And in the book, The Tattooist of Auschwitz, it does go into how later in the book, the Gypsies actually do come to the concentration camp. And originally, they were just letting like Jews, and then I think it was a bunch of killers, so like rapists and killers, and then anti-German politicals. So yeah, I think you just need to know a little bit of information about both Auschwitz and the Holocaust itself. As well as, you don't need to know a lot about World War II to read the book, but it is good like
have that understanding.
To have the information about it.
Yeah, okay. I think that if we understand how Auschwitz progressed as a camp, like what you said there, it wasn't originally specifically for Jewish people. It was like martyrs and all kinds of people, but then they started to focus primarily on Jewish people later on in like the middle of the war. And we can see how, knowing the conditions and how like treacherous it was going through Auschwitz, it's very important to understand what kind of situations it sets the mood for your book. I'm assuming it sets,
well, technically the for the war, like Jewish people were always the kind of like main concern of Hitler himself.
Yeah.
And the thing with Auschwitz and the concentration camps is that the Jewish people, there was no other people, like the Gypsies, the murderers, the anti-political German people.
Yeah.
The only people that were actually gassed, the only people that were gassed in Auschwitz and many other camps were only Jewish people.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it was only
people
the Jewish
died
people.
Other ways, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
It's through starvation, dehydration.
Yeah.
Firing squads.
Oh, firing squads too. I don't know. It was just poor conditions. I mean, they only had 2 rations per day, and the rations were a small cup of soup and a piece of stale bread. Not even a piece of stale bread. It was a chunk of bread. But, yeah. Shall we move on?
Okay. We've got 18 minutes. How long do we want this to be?
Well, we're still going on. What motivates each character? Like, what do you think motivates each character so far throughout the story?
With Fugitive Pieces, most of Jakob's motivation seems to be fear. He's running away from Nazis, so fear does make sense for him. And for Athos, it seems that compassion motivates him a lot. He says fairly early on, "We must carry each other. If we don't have this, what are we?" So he's really motivated by his belief that you have to take care of one another.
In our story, All the Light We Cannot See, it's a little bit different because we haven't gotten to the point where it talks about the events as much. So far it has been a lot of background information. We have the little snippet from the beginning, but that's about it. So the motivation right now, in a sense, is coming from, for Mary Lurie, is coming from her father, it seems, because he's the one who's building her the model of the town, telling her to run her fingers through it every day, for a while so that she can learn all the new doors, the benches, the trees, so that she can find her way around when going back home. And at the point of the story I'm at, she's pretty much just gotten to the point where he tells her to bring them home. He walks her to a square, a different one every day, and he goes, find your way home, and he just follows her. And he's the one motivating her to relearn how to do it. So he helps her dress, but if they have time, he tells her to tie her own shoes and things like that. So it's very focused on her relearning all of the things that she lost when she lost her sight. And then Werner, on the other hand, he's more motivated in the sense of his curiosity. So he's motivated to build things, or he finds this radio and he's motivated to fix it because he's curious about what he can do with it and what it's going to do, what's it going to show him.
He doesn't have much guidance otherwise.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of money at this point in the story. They do end up getting a little more when the Germans take more control, because at that point the Germans are taking a little more from the people. So because they're German and they are recruiting the boys, it does show them getting a little bit more money. They get a new couch, all of that. But a lot of it is his motivation isn't based on any of that. It's more based on his curiosity to fix things and find his own way to do things. Entertain himself and his sister for sure, because after bedtime they'll stay up talking, drawing, all the stuff that the other kids don't normally do. So it's a little bit different in our case because we haven't gotten to the events yet, but I do think that will change.
Would you say that being blind would motivate her?
Yes, I think so. I think it's very frustrating. I think she is very frustrated in a lot of it, because in the situations we've seen where he takes her out and he goes, now bring us home, she said no, and she was like, I can't, and it says that she couldn't do it multiple times. But at the same time, when she got home those times, she went back and she went to the model, and she ended up looking through again with her hands, feeling all the different places, and she realized that she could use the grates on the street, like the drains, and find each one of those. So when she went out with her stick, she got further and further, and she was eventually able to... It described to us where she was able to go and how she counted them, and it seemed like it was more of an excitement thing for her.
It was like an adventure.
Yeah, it was definitely more of an adventure, and like just the way that it was written and portrayed, it definitely seemed like she was getting more motivated doing it.
Okay. Well, for Lael in The Tattooist of Auschwitz, I think several things motivate him. Throughout the story, it does change, like his motivation does change. Because at the start, his motivation was to survive. He had hope. He knew that, like, this is not going to be forever. But he actually didn't know that for sure. So his true motivation was hope and survival. But as the book progresses, he meets Geeta, as we know. And he basically spends all his time thinking about it. It's described in the book how he can't go a day without thinking about her. And he worries about her. And usually on, like, the inmates would work Monday through Saturday, and they would have Sunday off. But for Lael, he didn't know when the shipments of people were coming in, so he would work 7 days a week for, like, months. With all these people coming in, he would be tattooing, like, everyone. Mm-hmm. And so when he finally got a Sunday off, he went to go see Geeta, and he sees Geeta. But there was this quote, and it said, I barely know Geeta. Yet how can I live if she does not? And this was actually when Geeta was sick.
He didn't know that?
Oh no, he knew that Geeta was sick.
Okay, okay.
But he he kind of smuggles things in from other people that come from the outside. And he knew that if he doesn't get medicine from these outside people, he knew that she was going to die.
So is he able to most days, does he still see her, or does he only see her like the one day that they found where they're both?
The thing is, like, because he's the tattooist, mm-hmm. he needs special protection. So he always has his bodyguard walking around. And because he's a target now, because he works for the SS, essentially. Yeah. And basically the men can't go into the women's dorms, and, like, they can't really exit anywhere. And it would look very suspicious if he goes into the women's dorm. Block.
Yes.
So he very rarely sees her. But on the rare occasion that he does, they do have this little place behind the, I think it's the mess hall. I don't know. It gets very descriptive. The book is very... But, yeah. I think love is a big motivation for him.
Okay. That's a nice little story. Sounds fun.
Not your fun. Phone turned
Sounds
off.
Good.
Oh, no, it's good. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, we've gone quite a bit over.
Do we have any more questions anybody would like to ask?
No.
Is there anything you would like to discuss? I think would be a little bit of a more broad wording.
I don't think so at this moment.
Okay. Well, I think it was a pretty good discussion. I think we all were able to say what we thought and express kind of what we were or where we got. And it's a little hard with me and Oscar because we haven't gotten very far in our book. But I think the next one will be a little bit more in depth.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming to discussion number one.